No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Keith, good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be here.
Yeah. So I have some, like, you know, deep questions that are really, you know, about my future as becoming a pilot.
This going to be a Saturday Night Live thing?
It could be, yes.
A Deep Thoughts
by Jack Handy.
Wow. You haven't watched that show in a long time.
No, I have not.
Anyway.
I'm not sure I ever have, to be honest.
He was my senator, so, you know, he's never really gone away.
Okay. Well, there you go. Good point. But, yeah, we're going to, you know, talk about some personal things and my pursuit of becoming a private pilot a little bit later on that maybe you can, you know, tag along for and pick up a nugget or two as well. But first, we got to check in with Dennis because you had a little, you know, father-son time at a flight facility up there in your neck of the woods of Minnesota. Is that right, Dennis?
We touched on it real briefly last week during the show, but yeah. We got invited. Actually, my son's college class got invited to come out to Sun Country Airlines to their maintenance facility at Minneapolis International. Not too often that you get to walk into a hangar with, you know, three 737-800s, including one with one of the CFM56 engines torn apart and all the fan blades sitting in little compartments on a cart instead of inside the engine. It was really interesting to see that as they're doing an inspection.
I bet. Was there like a...
Boeing doesn't appreciate hearing that.
Well, I bet. And was
no,
there...
CFM's is not Boeing's problem. It's not their engine.
Well, okay.
But you have to do that.
Their decision to put it on the airplane, though.
Well, sometimes it's a customer's decision, depending
on
the plane.
Yeah.
That's true.
But was there like a mechanic going, hey, wait a minute, we're done, and we still have all these parts sitting on the table?
Oh, these extra parts? Oh, those are the wee parts. You know, you just throw them over your shoulder. Wee!
There we go. All right. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that airline, though. Wait, what is Sun Country Air? What?
Sun Country Airlines. We call them the hometown airline here in Minneapolis because they were started off as a charter airline, you know, here in Minnesota. It gets a little cold in those winter months. And so Sun Country was founded to fly to Cancun and Cozumel and places like that and really made their business doing that kind of charter. But in the last 5-10 years or so, they've become a low-cost carrier competing with the Allegiants and the Spirits of the world.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So they're one of those kind of budget airlines. And but how did you kind of weasel your way into their maintenance facility? Well, how did that come to be?
Well, you know, my son is going through that Part 141 curriculum through the college. Mm-hmm. And one of his instructors actually happens to be a captain on the 737s at Sun Country. So he invited anybody who could make it up on a Monday morning to come up to the hangar and he'd give them a personal tour. And so it was really kind of neat. We got to go up inside the avionics bay, which is behind the nose wheel on the underside. So you have to duck under the plane and then stick your head up into a hatch. And the inside is, you know, you're looking underneath the pedestal in the, you know, all the way up to the, you know, the cockpit with all the cables and controls and radios and things like that. So stuff you wouldn't normally see in any kind of a tour, we got to really go look at up close.
Yeah. So did, you know, well, after you took this tour and saw all this kind of behind the scenes type stuff, did that make you more confident in how they maintain these aircraft?
Oh, you know, believe it or not, yes. I mean, okay, we were introduced to Sun Country's finest numerous times, and, you know, we apologized for them for, you know, taking over the airplane. They actually wanted to get some work done, but, you know, we all had to go sit in the cockpit and get our selfies, right?
Well, you did some of that stuff. So what did you see exactly that you're like, wow, I never thought, you know, they had this kind of stuff other than, you know, looking in weird cubbyholes and places in the aircraft?
Well, you know, you see the the first officer typically is the one that goes and does a walk around for these airliners, you know, and they take their little flashlight and you go, well, what can you really see, you know, on a big airliner like that? What are you going to really look for? Mm-hmm. Well, he actually took the time to walk us through and say, you know, these are the things that we look for when we're pre-flighting these airplanes. And, you know, he was explaining like the static vents that are on the side of the fuselage is actually painted in box around where that is. And he says that area is extremely critical because of reduced vertical separation minimums. So if there's any dents, dings, paint missing, anything over there, maintenance has to inspect that or they can't legally fly the airplane above 29,000 feet. And so it's some of that kind of stuff that they need to visually check. And then we went into the wheel wells and oh my, is that a maze of pipes and cables? And it's like, how would you possibly fix or diagnose something in here? Now I now understand why you're looking at $20 million airplanes.
Well, I'm sure. But is that part of the pre-flight on one of those as well? They got to look up in the wheel crown, yes. Wheel well?
What he's looking for in there is not necessarily that everything is, you know, working properly. That's not his job. But what he is looking for is, is there anything out of place? Do we have a leak? You know, is there, you've got 3,000 PSI oil pressure, you know, for the gear retraction and for steering and braking and things like that. And so they're looking for maybe a leak, a loose fitting that might have a oil seeping or something like that.
Got it. Now, Keith, you've done this stuff, right?
Many, many times.
So does the pilot actually see stuff more obvious than, I don't know, maintenance guy would? I would imagine a lot of this stuff would be more maintenance heavy, wouldn't it?
Well, it is, and the airplanes are inspected very, very routinely, but there are definitely things that the pilots can find on a walk around.
Yeah.
So it's something that we do every flight.
So, but it's more basic stuff like, hey, there's some fluid over here, right, or some paint chips missing off this area, like Dennis was alluding to, and that kind of obvious stuff.
Right. And each aircraft has their own specific things that you have to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, depending on which aircraft you're flying, but anytime you're looking at the landing gear, you're always looking for fluid leaks.
Yeah.
Anywhere around the airplane, you're looking for fluid leaks, whether it be hydraulic fluid, fuel, you know.
Flat tires.
Tires are a little hard to tell on those things.
Yeah.
You can
kick them. You can actually look at the brakes. Was one of the things that was kind of interesting. He actually showed us, you can see the brake pads, you know, they're big disc brakes.
Yeah.
There's actually a piece of wire that goes through that's attached to that pad. Mm-hmm. And as long as there's a lot of metal on the other side of that wire, you're fine. But as it wears, there's less and less sticking through. And so that's how you know that the brakes need to be changed. And he actually showed us that on this particular aircraft, the inboard brakes had been recently changed, but the outboard ones weren't because the wire was sticking out farther.
I gotcha.
So they look at little things like that. Mm-hmm. What did surprise me, though, is he walks out to the engine nacelle and pops the oil door and says, here, just to show you, here's how you check the oil on a jet engine. It's just a sight glass in the side. You just look in and see is the level there. But the first time he did that, a mechanic came up and almost slapped his hand. He's like, what are you doing? You don't touch that.
Yeah.
So the pilots do not touch the engines, do not check the oil. It's completely reliant on maintenance to do that kind of stuff.
It's like a chef in his kitchen.
As a GA pilot, right? Yeah, it's completely different than what we're used to.
Well, yeah, because in GA, you got to manage all that stuff yourself, kind of.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Here you're trusting that the maintenance guys are doing their job and following up. And
yeah, but you never had one of those moments where he's doing the walk around and he's showing you all this stuff. He goes, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be here. That didn't happen, I'm assuming.
So no, not at all.
So it checked out okay, the craft that you were looking at.
Yeah, we would have taken it out. We were trying to see if we could go take it and push it out back and start the engines, but they weren't going to have any.
Yeah,
of that.
I guess not. So this was a 737?
737-800.
So how long do you figure a walk around like that would take on a typical flight there, Keith?
Probably about 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. That. But he's showing you all this stuff, so I'm guessing it took a little longer than that, right, Dennis?
Yeah, it was a lot of Q&A. We probably had 8 or 10 students there, and you know, it was funny because half the class is in one wee well, the other half's on the other side, and you know, you're looking at each other in this big open center and pointing things out. You know, you could see where the emergency, you know, hydraulic systems were and things like that. Showed where the fire bottles, things that you know you hear about and you see the levers up the front, but to actually see where all the parts and pieces come together was really fun.
Okay. Well, did the kids learn something? Did you learn anything other than, hey, this is kind of cool? Or what do you think?
Yeah, we learned a lot of little subtle things about the airliners and, you know, what they're looking for, but also, you know, what these things are on the plane as you're looking around. And it was really fun. It was fun for me to come back and revisit this. I had back in the late 80s, I was in the U.S. Air Force and was flying in a 737-200. And so we went through a lot of system classes. And so it was interesting to see how the new ones are still very similar to the stuff that we had to learn back then.
Mm-hmm. But the maintenance guy, did he ever calm down after, you know, the pilot looked in a place he wasn't supposed to be?
Yeah, once we left, he probably went and checked everything.
But he was annoyed. Sure, that's typical, Keith.
They will do that. After a group like that leaves, they will go back and they'll check everything.
It's like, hey, they booby-trapped it. I know it.
Well, it's their signature on it that says that this was taken care of.
Right.
And so we had that when we would do egress training, they would always come back around and verify everything.
Keep them damn kids away from my plane! Crotchety old man. Kids playing in his yard or something like that, I guess. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly.
In the right place. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith, and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, we've had this story for a few weeks, and we just haven't got around to mentioning it. And it involves Catalina Island, you know, off the coast of California there. I've been there a few times. Love it. Have you been there, Keith?
I have not.
You have not been there?
I've been there.
You know, I've taken a boat over there like three or four times. Did a little diving. It's a scuba diving place you can go. But it's really just a funky little island that Wrigley...
Is that because you don't have a license to fly an airplane there? Is
no.
that why you take a boat there?
No. It's well, I don't have a plane or a license, actually. But and I haven't found anyone to fly me yet. But, I, you know, Dennis might be able to help me out in his Mooney 201.
Well, I might try to get hooked up with some of my fellow Mooney pilots that are in the L.A. area. There's a number of them that I've been in contact with, and when I head out there in December for a work meeting, I might try to go fly in a Mooney around the LA basin.
Well, I'm there every late May, June timeframe for a big scuba diving event in Long Beach
dive show.
Yeah, so we got to figure out a way to get out there, and that's a perfect time to go because it's starting to warm up again. Because typically, if you go any earlier than that, the water's too cold to do any diving. But the weather there on the island's really cool. It's kind of like, for Florida folks like ourselves, we're based in Orlando. It's kind of like for the California people going to the Keys for us in comparison. So, get this little town of Avalon, which is one of the cities there in Catalina on the island there that have all these little touristy type restaurants and bars and things, and you can wander around the island. It's a cool place. It has a cool vibe, but kind of Key Westy kind of a vibe to it. And I've been there a few times. They have this unique runway. And what's the name of the airport there, Dennis?
It's called Airport in the Sky. It was built back in 1941.
Yeah. They had like level couple mountains to even make the runway possible. And they had the money because the Wrigley family owned it. That did Wrigley spearmint gum.
Right.
Yeah. So they had more money than God and said, oh, runway, no problem. We'll take down a couple of mountains, put it right here. But it is a unique runway for many reasons. I mean, the island's not that big, but they have this runway they had to get stuff on and off. And it's unique in that when you land on it, supposedly, you can't see the end of the runway because it comes up or down in the middle or something like that. Dennis, is that what you've read?
I've read it's like a hump in the middle, so you can't see one end from the other. So it's just an interesting perspective when you land.
Well, interesting, or you have to kind of land on faith. Like, it better be there. It says it's here on the map, but I can't see it.
Let's not go off the end. It says it's 3,000 feet, and I know I can land in less than that. Let's just hope that there's still a runway.
Right. So I guess, I don't know if you have to have a special issuance to be able to fly into it. You might have to do that. I'm not sure, but because I remember there's hearing about this runway, but whether they're going to fix it or not, it might happen here soon because it was announced that they're planning to do some major overhaul on this airport. Is that right?
Yeah, they've announced the Island Conservancy is launching a $5 million project that was funded by donations to rebuild the airport. But what is interesting is they're not hiring a construction company. They're actually bringing in the Marines.
Okay.
So Camp Pendleton is going to send 500 tons of equipment and more than 100 Marines to the island to rebuild it. They're going to pretend that it's an island in the middle of the Pacific somewhere that they need to, set up an emergency airfield. And so they're going to practice all of their construction skills in a real world project.
Well, there you go. That's one way to get her done. And so the military will make out by going through some war game type stuff, scenarios, and the conservancy there on the island will get their airport upgraded. Sounds like a win-win.
Benefit. Yeah, everybody wins.
With the exception of, they're actually paying for it. They paid for it with donations, though. Is that right? So it's not really costing the government either. So they're paying the military to do this for them in some way or supplies or something. Yeah, they figured it out. They're in California. They figure, Catalina is still considered part of the state there, so they figured some kind of government angle to make this happen. So God bless them for it. That'll be cool. Now, whether they take the hump out will be, the $84 million question or whatever it costs.
$5 million question.
$5 million, yes. Yeah, because, landing in faith or on faith like that when you can't see the end of the runway. Have you ever been in a situation like that, Keith?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you always are if you're in IFR conditions, aren't you?
Can't see. Yeah, but not in a situation where the runway has a hump in it like that.
Right.
Commercial aircraft have a 2% grade minimum, or maximum, I should say, that they can have.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Otherwise, it affects the performance too much.
Yeah, I don't think it. What I remember hearing about it was, there was this hump, and the only trick to it is you don't really see the end of the runway, like Dennis was talking about. So there'd be that element of, it better be there. And, it's California. They could have like an earthquake and nobody would know and the other half is gone. You hear what I'm saying? It could happen in a matter of seconds.
Well, it sounds like a rock movie or something like that, right?
Yeah, of course. It was supposed to be here. Power up quick. Yeah, I don't know.
You can always go around.
Well, you could, hopefully, if you haven't powered down too much. But it's a cool place. It is on my flying bucket list to go over to Catalina, because you could easily go over there. I mean, they have these little, you know, Catalina Express ferries that run over from Long Beach, California, and L.A. and stuff like that. And you can literally go over there, and it takes, I don't know, an hour and a half maybe, tops. And you go spend the day in Catalina and come back the same evening. You know, so, and it's a cool day trip for sure, but, you know, staying over a night or two would definitely be worth it. But going over there and having a buffalo burger, because they had buffalo, well, they still do, I guess. But that was one of the things. I went over there and they populated the island with buffalo. So you go over there and get a buffalo burger, which is your $100 hamburger. Actually, it's probably more expensive because it's buffalo meat instead. But they are tasty.
They're supposedly better for you.
Supposedly. But I go for the flavor. And then they get this famous drink, too. What is it again? Crap. It's not like a grasshopper. It's some other, like a buffalo milk. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's a buffalo milk drink. And there's booze in it, of course. So you don't want to mix that in the flying. But if you're staying overnight, fly over there, have your buffalo burger, top it off with a buffalo milk drink. You'll pass out and then fly back the next day. After you
just
tour,
make sure
now,
before you fly over there in January, check your NOTAMs because the runway might be closed.
Yes. And, you know, make sure you know that if there's this little hump in it, that the runway actually exists.
It's a 2.1%.
So it's slightly over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Now you know, and maybe they'll fix it. We'll find out soon enough. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew. All right, so we're going to Catalina at some point. Santa Catalina, there's a whole song and stuff. Google it, and it'll be like one of those earworm songs that you'll hate me forever. But I warned you. So, you know, now you have to go look and hear that tune. Now, there is another article that popped across my inbox this week, and I'm sure it's not by coincidence, but the title of it is called Exiting the Hold, Quieting the Critic, and it's about basically, you know, quit listening to those voices in your head that tell you don't go learn how to fly. Now, it's hard for me to silence those voices in my head, as you can imagine. Some of them say some pretty disturbing things. But I could really relate to this. This was actually a Mooney pilot. What's her name again? Jolie?
Jolene Lucas.
Yeah, Jolie Lucas. And she wrote this article about basically, you know, don't listen to the negative voices in your head. You know, when that voice goes, kill him. You know, you don't want to listen to that one, but
but you probably should listen to the negative voices.
He's looking at me like, what did he just do?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Listen to the other voices, you know, or silence the ones that are negative, but you know,
you mean like our listeners writing in and calling in and Dennis and I and Ed harassing you?
Yeah,
listen to those
exactly. Wait a minute. No, I block those out. I'm talking about the voices in my head, you know, that to say, hey, you know, I want to do this. I want to go hop in the plane and do some training. But I got this. I got to mow the grass.
I got to go to DEMA.
I got to travel. Trip.
You don't mow the grass.
I did. I just mowed it today outside the studio. Look how clean it looks out there today.
And I saw the lawn care truck leaving.
Wrong! No, I don't. I got to manage my time better. The voices, I believe, are telling me to grab Keith's credit card and just charge it and go for it big time.
Yeah, don't silence that voice.
J. Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan. Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis. That is Freddie Mercury from Queen. Have you seen the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, Dennis?
Not yet.
My wife
and daughter both want me to go, though.
You got to go. Go see it in IMAX. Definitely worth it. Fun time. And there, Keith, you haven't seen a movie in what, 30 years probably?
Probably something
yeah,
like that.
You ought to make that your movie.
What is it, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, the story of Queen. And Freddie Mercury, and they have that song "Spread Your Wings," so it kind of, you know, connects you via that love of aviation. How about that? Does that help inspire you to want to go see and blow your money on this movie?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Come on.
Maybe I'll wait till it comes out on DVD.
No, go see it. You'll thank me anyway. Good stuff. Let's talk about other things related to flying, though. And
this one's kind of close to you, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it is. So the FAA has created this off-ramp for to take your certificate, your medical certificate, class what? 1, 2, 3 or something?
Yeah, in
or
your
what?
Case, a third class medical. But yeah, anybody right. that's got a current class 1, 2, or 3 medical,
yeah.
they're basically mapping the process for you to move to either basic med or even go fly without a medical as a sport pilot or a glider pilot after you've had some sort of a condition that requires a special issuance.
Okay. So in my case, I had open heart surgery about 2.5 years ago. I have to get my special issuance. I was already current with my current medical at the time. I don't think it's expired yet because I actually renewed it after the surgery. But I still have.
I thought you got it renewed just before the surgery.
I did. Oh, that's right.
It's been 2.5 years. You've expired, so you.
Shh.
You were. Yeah. But if you go the basic med route,
yeah.
you've had a medical
right.
within the 10 years of the start of that rule. So you technically wouldn't have to go back, but you're going to have to go through whatever the process is to get a special issuance and make sure that you've been cleared by your cardiac doctor and get the FAA, whatever paperwork.
Right.
But. The nice part is they've actually finally detailed this out as what could you do to follow that path and be able to get the medical clearance that you would need and be able to use basic med, which for you would probably meet all of your requirements.
Yeah, I think it will.
You want to go to the Bahamas and Bahamas accepts basic med.
Right.
So
I want to go down to the Keys. I want to, you know, go down to South Florida. I'll be able to do all this stuff. I've already started lining up the paperwork. Like I went and had a EKG and all that kind of stuff, got on the treadmill and did the tests and da da da. So I'm kind of slowly but surely getting everything in line to submit to the FAA and get my special issuance.
If I remember right, didn't you do your stress test live on air so you could just take a recording of that and bring that to the FAA?
We could. We did that on one of our other radio shows.
Too long ago.
What do you mean it was too long ago?
Got to be within the last 3 months, I think. 3 to 6 months.
Mm. Well, I know the doctor, so we could easily change the number on the date. The FAA is not listening, I don't believe. No, we'll figure it out. I'll get that done. But the bottom line is that they've mapped it out for people like me that have to go through one of these processes. Here's what you do and how you can get your basic med in line. And they've kind of laid it out there for you. And kind of created that, you know, that plan, that flight plan for you to get it done, right?
So we're silencing one of the voices in your head. So now what do we need to do to keep moving here, Greg?
Once again, it kind of goes back to Keith's credit card. So we just got to, you know, do we need to extend the limit, Keith, or what do you think?
With you on board, yeah.
Do you have a cap on that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But have you had anybody at the flight school that's been going through this process lately or no?
We have one gentleman who is doing that.
Yeah. And are they finding it easier to navigate because of this new road, you know, roadmap that the FAA's put out, or
not yet?
Clear as mud,
yes,
kind of deal. Okay. Yeah. Well,
there's going to be, you know, anytime a new program like this comes out, there's going to be some trial and error that mm-hmm. has to take place for everybody, for the doctors, and for everybody to figure out exactly what the FAA wants,
right?
Including the FAA figuring out what they really want.
Exactly. Yeah, but I would think it's not that hard. It's just a matter of making a few phone calls and talking to the people maybe at AOPA Medical or whatever, and they're kind of up to speed on that stuff. So there's people you can lean on to get that information done. And when I get to that point, when I'm ready, I got plenty of people to call, pull in a few favors, slide them 20.
And that is really key, though, to, you know, rely on the people from AOPA. If you're not a member, join AOPA. It's $69 a year, and you get a full, you know, their medical people will help walk you through what you need to do.
Well, there you go. All right. So, and they do have my number, and they know it's me.
Yeah, but they have your number for a different reason.
Like, so they can block it. Understood. But that's just me. You know, we have done some major renovations here at the Just Plain Radio recording studio, which is also, you know, kind of my house sometimes. But we did some stuff, and I did some remodeling here in the studio. You noticed my Sims missing.
I did.
You know, I cleared out some space because I haven't been using this thing. You know, I had one of these, I don't even remember what the brand is. It's a decent one. Satech or something. Does that sound right?
So all this time you've been telling us, see, my simulator's right here. I have been practicing, and you really haven't, and now you've gotten rid of it.
Well, no, I haven't gotten rid of it. I still have it. I just boxed it up because I had to take it down while we were doing this renovation, and I haven't put it back up yet.
Likely but, excuse.
No, it is a good excuse. It's the excuse I'm going to stick with for now. But the question is, does it really make a difference? I mean, you guys have a flight simulator at FT Pros, and I figured, hey, maybe I need to start calling Ed and Keith and saying, hey, is anybody in the sim this afternoon? Should I go over there and just play around?
You haven't done that yet.
No, I haven't, because, you know, I figured you guys don't usually want to see me. You see me enough just doing the radio show. I mean, but would that actually help someone like me in this current state of limbo that I have been in for the last year or two?
Well,
that'd be a good place to just kind of fiddle.
Let me answer that question in this way.
And the reason I ask this is because AOPA just put out a question last week about, do Sims really help and your proficiency of being, you know, current with your skills of a pilot?
Okay. So it is difficult in today's age with the current requirements to get your private to get it done in 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're not doing it on a
regular
daily
basis.
Right. You know, if you're doing, you know,
for the record, I got way more hours than that.
Yes, you do.
So
that's not necessarily
but
something
I can
to brag
also prove
about.
To you that it can be done in 41 and a half hours, because you look at my son's logbook, you'll find that that's how long it took him to get his private.
Yeah.
So it can be done if you're willing to put the time in. Hint.
And for the record, it can be done with well over 100 hours.
I would hope so. Most people get their instrument rating by that time.
So if you're only training 1 or 2 days a week, it mm-hmm. will take you more than 40 hours to get your rating.
Right.
But if you have a decent simulator that has a yoke and has a throttle and stuff, mm-hmm. it will cut down your time. If you are disciplined to do the things, some of the programs actually have like a private pilot training program built into the sim.
Right.
And if you fly those maneuvers and do them disciplined, it will help.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the system I have is nowhere near the sim that you guys have, the Redbird that you guys have at FT Pros.
Right.
And what I'm wondering is, you know, what I have is, you know, it's
in a box. No, it will do you no good.
Well, that is true. But let's say it's, you know, hooked up and it's working. And I got the X-Plane thing going on. The reason I got it wasn't really to, you know, learn how to fly the plane. It was kind of to manage some kind of flight control flow processes and things like that when I was hot and heavy into that stuff. But with that system, I kind of need to go to the sim if I really want to go back to remembering what it's like to fly the plane, don't I?
Well, you can start by opening the box.
Okay. You're saying to go back to the box before I go to the flight sim?
Sure, why not?
Well, I'm just saying, wouldn't that be better though, if I went to the
anything flight? Is better than nothing at all.
Okay, understood.
Greg, even if you're sitting there with the yoke in your hand, not hooked up to anything, making airplane noises, it still would be progress for you.
That is a yoke in your hand, and you're not just happy to see me.
Well, there is that as well.
Okay. So, anyway, I guess you're saying that Sims do help, though.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually worked with a young kid from South America, and he's the only applicant that I have ever taught. We just literally went out and flew around because everything I told him to do, he could do immediately because he had flown so much on a simulator.
Mm.
And it was just go fly.
Yeah.
Go put in your time.
Those damn
and
kids.
As soon as you
crazy.
Get 40 hours, we'll send you for your check ride.
Yeah.
And he literally did it in 40 hours. So when he finished his check ride, he had 41.5.
I hate those kind of pilots.
He was dedicated.
Yeah. Yeah. And they make me look bad. It's just not right.
Because he was dedicated.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like heavy spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Sonic booms. That's what Keith stumbled across this week. So what's going on in the world of sonic boom aircraft? So they're breaking the sound barrier and making a bunch of racket. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. These are low boom supersonic booms that they're doing.
Low booms. Which means what?
Not as loud as what it was when the space shuttle used to come back.
Okay. So
we here in Florida were privy to those things. Sometimes we'd get woken up in the middle of the night.
Be like, doo, doo. We'd hear both.
Yes.
The entry and the exit of the space shuttle into our atmosphere.
It would be the front and the back.
Well, that's what, isn't that what I meant?
Well...
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, okay. So they have an X-59 that they've been started testing on. This aircraft will be built by Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
If it goes to testing. They're also testing a F-18 that goes supersonic. And they're doing it over land to see what people's reaction is. And they're doing this over in Galveston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get people, see what their reaction is to see if we can get supersonic flight over the mainland. Right now, it's prohibited.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that it's okay if you know it's about to happen. If you don't, you're bound to spill your coffee all over yourself, and it's going to create a crazy mess.
Did you ever spill your coffee when the space shuttle came back?
Well, actually, no. Because, well, we got used to it in Florida. Yeah. We know, oh, there's space shuttle. Yeah, there's one coming in today. So we kind of got, you know, used to the program, even if you didn't know.
Same thing here. So well, if you do it enough, people become used to it, and it's not a big deal. Yeah, well, it might catch some people off guard if they don't know it's happening, but once they know what it is, not a big deal.
Good point. Those first initial ones are going to startle everybody. Because, literally the space shuttle would shake your house here in Florida.
It would, but these are not – their new design, the new aerodynamics, will not be as loud, and that's why they're calling them low boom.
Low boom.
Low boom.
Okay. So, and this would be a good thing. At least first, it'll start with military aircraft, and then eventually it might filter down, and we can get to New York and L.A. much quicker.
If they can get that to work, yes.
You don't think they'll be able to do it? I think they'll find a way.
Oh, I know they'll find a way. It's just a matter of can they do it economically enough is going to be the real key.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when you're doing that in the airplane, you don't feel or hear anything when that happens, do you? Because it happens after you're already out of the area because you're moving so quickly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, it would be fun to have that at an air show, like at Air Venture or Sun and Fun, because just when they do the military, flybys and these F-35s or 18s, 16s, whatever the hell they're flying, and it is creepy sometimes when they first start the air shows because you see the plane like, whoa, there's one, and then all of a sudden, and, but it's like, 10 seconds later.
Right.
And scares the bejesus out of you because it is so loud. If that was a sonic boom instead, I would imagine that would even be a little more startling.
It definitely would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when they first began testing for this, got to the speed of sound there were difficulties because there was a lot of buffet in the flight controls and things that they weren't really sure what would happen when they broke the sound barrier. But as technology has advanced, we had the Concorde for a few years, right?
Right.
So they were able to do it. So they could only go into the very outskirts of the country. They could go into New York, Miami, mm-hmm. That type of air. They couldn't come in, fly over land, and land in Chicago. They weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
Well, they could. They just couldn't go supersonic once they crossed the coast.
Yeah. But, I mean, couldn't they just create some kind of airway? Like, hey, this is the sonic boom airway across the country, and we'll allow you to speed up through there.
The problem is how big the footprint is underneath it. The people that are in that airway are probably going to complain that they don't want that in their backyard. And that backyard might be a 100-mile-wide swath.
Well, do we know? I mean, is that we're trying to narrow that swath?
I'm sure somebody knows, but it's not me.
It's not you?
Yeah. So that's why they're going for the low boom.
Low boom. All right. But I wonder what low boom would sound like. You kind of have to know. It's like, it's just like, it's not that big a deal. But, when it was a space shuttle, it literally would shake the roof of your house.
Yes, it would.
You would think there was an explosion. And it would startle you quite a bit, even though we're used to it. I think the most jarring times it would happen was when it would be early in the morning and you'd be in bed.
Right.
And
new alarm clock.
Then your wife
were just upset the fact that you had to get up before 7 o'clock.
No. My wife would turn
before
over and
noon.
Say, was that you? And I was like, no, it was a space shuttle.
Like you were cognizant enough at that hour to say that.
It was either that or the dog. Come on. So the low boom, I guess they're working on, the sound. But, you're right. I guess we'd get used to it like anything else.
Yeah. We got used to the space shuttle, so I don't see any difference, especially if it's less.
Well,
because I think it would be a noise, but I don't think it's going to shake your house.
Well, if it's a low boom, I guess They're going to try to minimize it some way. I'm surprised they can't figure out a way to just eliminate it altogether.
They probably will one of these days.
Isn't there an app for that? Come on, Dennis. Design something. Make millions. No? You have no comment?
Not a physicist.
All right.
There's certain laws there.
But if you think about
the volume of planes that they're looking at creating, though, it's not a huge market. So, you know, an occasional, you know, low boom over your house, yeah, it might be socially acceptable. We'll have to see.
But we're not talking
about every single commercial flight taking off out of Miami is suddenly going to become supersonic capable.
Well, I would hope it would. I mean, we want to get there faster. We want to make all the planes. I want my general aviation aircraft to go sonic. That'd be pretty cool.
You have to fly one first.
Oh, there's that. Where's your credit card anyway? And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.